Well, delightful to be back, although I will say that Thursday night and Friday, among the best in, this is hyperbole maybe, but among the best in roadshow history, Curtis. Would you agree or not?
Best crowd we've ever had.
Friday at Bernie's?
Unbelievable.
Best crowd ever?
Yeah, it was,
start to finish.
I mean, there's plenty of room there. Like, I'm not going to knock the, there's less room when you look at the Beachcomber or you look at, you know, any of the other places. So it's been an awesome roadshow season, and we got two left, and we will be at the Parrot in Hull on Friday morning for roadshow number 7, and cannot wait to get down to Nantasket Beach, where Wiggy, when I was a young lad of 7 or so, my parents brought me down there to go on the carousel and to see. They had one of those dudes who rode the motorcycle around and around and around in the circular thing that was
The giant cage?
Oh, on the wall?
No, it was in the ground. It was literally, it was literally a giant circle thing in the ground, and the dude started at the bottom and then circular rode his way all the way up the entire thing.
That's cool.
And so cannot wait to be there for the road show.
I've never been to Nantasket Beach.
You have never been to Nantasket? No. So that's what we would call fertile ground for you, and the missus.
Careful, there's rocks.
I couldn't even tell you where it is.
Well, it's South Shore.
South Shore.
Yes, yeah.
My neck of the woods.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
it's near Hull?
It's in Hull.
Okay.
Yeah, it is in Hull.
All right.
And that is that's where Shime, you were born where?
I'm from Rockland originally, but we went to Nantasket Beach every summer, multiple times a summer, like all the time.
Okay. And you'll be joining us for the festivities Thursday night and Friday, correct?
Heck yeah.
Okay, excellent. And that will give you the opportunity to make your case for Bill O'Brien, because Bill O'Brien will be with us on Friday morning, so you can try to get yourself on the staff. Or
yeah, whatever. I know the Red Sox are kind of doing away with a lot of the analytics guys and stuff, but maybe Bill O'Brien will look the other way.
Well, yeah, you could be his driveline, basically. You could be Bill O'Brien's driveline.
I mean, I have just as much experience in football as Kyle Boddy had in baseball. So,
how odd is it that some of these guys who went and got their own hitting instructors are now hitting the ball like there's no tomorrow? Like Durbin is a great example. He's hitting like 292 since he went and got those Waltham guys and said, I want nothing to do with the Red Sox hitting staff and nothing to do with driveline. I'm going to go get my own people. It's unbelievable.
And the other thing that's just so strange is that like Tracy and I was on Thursday, and I recognize that he has a tough job and he has to sort of toe the company line. But if it's always done and all these players have their own coaching hitting instructors, then why are we just finding out about it? Like, if Manny was going to Wrentham to meet a hitting coach, I feel like we would have talked about it at the time. Like, it's these players are in an open rebellion against the manner in which they're being taught to hit, right? I mean, how else could you read it?
No.
Because they've been so sensitive about the fact that these guys have been doing it. You're not sensitive if it's commonplace. Like, Alex Guerrero was a problem. And I'm sure a lot of players had their own workout people, but Guerrero telling people not to lift weights with the most important player was an issue with the organization. Like, doing your own thing can be an issue.
Well, this
is just it's a waste of a season. Like, it's just an absolute waste of a season. And you were coming off being a playoff team, and you were talking about how it was World Series or bust, and it's just a complete waste of a season. And so, and then you got the looming work stoppage, lockout, strike, whatever that's going to be. And so it's a giant black cloud that hangs over the whole thing there over on Lansdowne Street. So I haven't given up watching like Wiggy. I will watch unless there's soccer on, because I'm a big soccer guy. What a day Friday. I went to the Dubliner.
Ooh.
To watch the Scotland game.
Place is packed.
It was jam-packed, and the Scottish people, God love them, they are so fun. I just wanted Scotland to score at least once, because I wanted to see that place erupt, and I didn't get that, although I think they may have been deprived of a legit penalty shot that they should have had in that game on Friday, Shime.
Yeah, one could argue they probably should have had a penalty shot, but the refs have been kind of swallowing the whistle quite a bit lately, which I think I've enjoyed a little bit. I love the physicality. So, you know, it's hard to justify it.
U.S. back in action on Thursday, is that correct?
I believe that is correct, yes. Greg. I will double check.
And they've already kind of technically advanced to the next round.
This is a superfluous match.
Yeah. They'll be resting a bunch of people.
They're going to rest people with yellow cards, because if the Ghost Guards get a yellow card, they would be eliminated from the first game of the knockout.
Because I drove by that whole city hall in Dublin yesterday just to kind of see.
Wait, who are you asking about being eliminated? Scotland or the U.S.?
No. I said U.S. already advanced. Scotland, yes. I think, is
Scotland has a chance. No. There is a scenario by which Scotland would play another game here at Boston Stadium.
Against Germany.
Yes.
If they lose or tie Brazil this week, they will then play, I believe it's June 28th or 29th, against Germany here at Gillette.
They will likely lose to Brazil. I mean, no offense to the Scottish team or the people.
Wait, if they lose, how do they advance?
They become one of the third-place consolation teams.
There's consolation teams?
The worst four teams, right? Correct? It's four of them? End up being...
There's a couple of third place teams from the group stage that will advance because of the new number now that there's 48 instead of 32 or whatever it is.
All right. Let's do it.
Yeah. So the Tartan Army could be theoretically,
they still got life.
Could be back here.
All right. I think Shime bet against them and ultimately won there because you picked Morocco, right?
I did. Yeah.
So I didn't know. I had saw that Haiti was eliminated, but I wouldn't know if Scotland still had life left.
But it was excellent. It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Great crack, as they would say. And that was not me being seated, Curtis, with my pants falling down. It was the fun and excitement of European soccer.
We met, James and I were on the bus this weekend, love the bus, and met a group of Scots heading to Logan.
Mm.
And I just said to them, I said, thank you for all you've brought to our city.
Mm.
And they were just so kind, so gracious, so grateful. They said, truly, these are days I will never forget for the rest of my life. You have given us the most incredible experience, and we hope that we can welcome Boston. I said, I don't know if you want to come to Scotland, but it was just such an unbelievably unique, out of nowhere, once-in-a-lifetime week for Boston in the way in which we were seen, visited, and enjoyed. It was awesome.
All right, Chime, let's get to it, if we could.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for...
Shime, I don't know the song, although it sounds like at least the harmony portion there, like Coldplay.
No, not Coldplay. It's a Boston band.
That is a Boston band from what year?
Let me find the exact year of the song. 1988.
1988, Boston band. What letter does it start with?
A P?
P. I have no idea.
The Pixies.
Nailed it, Curtis.
Oh, Pixies. Okay. All right, Shime. Interesting choice by you this morning.
Thank you. Trying to mix it up a little bit.
Better than the Hulkster on your team.
The leads today brought to you by Subaru. Subaru Summer is finally here. You can get details at SubaruofNewEngland.com. Good morning, Shime.
Good morning, Greg. So there's a lot to talk about today. There's soccer, there's golf, but I'm actually going to talk about something I haven't done a lead on. You guys have done plenty of them on, but the Giannis sweepstakes has a bit of an update. Mark Stein, just a few hours ago, overnight wrote an article about the Giannis sweepstakes and then updated it with this. One league source, after his story published, told the Stein line that the Celtics emerged from the weekend with a real shot, quote unquote, to win this race with a Jaylen Brown-centric offer, adding that Milwaukee has considered going ahead even without a third team facilitator. So it seems as though your Boston Celtics are gaining ground on the Miami Heat in terms of acquiring Giannis, and it would involve sending Jaylen Brown to the Milwaukee Bucks.
Mm. Yeah, it sounds like for a while there over the weekend, it seemed like there were a bunch of people suggesting that Miami had the deal done and it was a 3 or 4 team deal.
Correct.
But now it seems like maybe the Celtics went back and said, okay, we're willing to part with Jaylen Brown.
And I think
maybe that's what has happened.
I think that's exactly what happened, Greg. And they even said to the Bucks, it seems that they were like, look, we don't need a third team. We have enough assets to just get this done straight up. Jaylen and Giannis are the centerpieces of this deal, one going one way, one coming the other.
But doesn't Milwaukee want good picks?
But they might keep Jaylen. Milwaukee might. That's part of some of this new stuff that came out, that they would be willing. They don't need a third team. They would just keep Jaylen Brown and build around Jaylen.
I understand, but they were also looking for picks.
But you can't get a player of the talent of Jaylen Brown and get picks. Like, the other offers are not including players that Jaylen Brown is by far the best player that is currently on the market for Giannis.
They're now considering going forward with Jaylen Brown instead of Tyler Hero and first-round picks.
Miami is Boston has the best hands down, because you're talking about throwing Jaylen Brown into the deal, and it has a better deal than any other team can even think about giving you. So if you're the Milwaukee Bucks, you're like telling Miami, you like to Shime's point, keep Tyler Herro on those picks. We'll just take Jaylen Brown, almost like a player for player swap.
Now, how is your sourcing on this? This is not Eric Shun. This is
This is legit NBA reporter Mark Stein.
Okay. And we believe Mark Stein.
Yeah, he has 1.5 million followers. Yeah.
Whoa. Okay, all right. Hold on a second.
Is Giannis at Logan?
I believe he used to work for ESPN. I might be wrong, but I think he did.
Guy's a macro influencer.
Yeah. I listened to it. He has a podcast called The Stein Line. It's excellent.
All right. Well, we are excellently, Chime. Thank you. Giannis Watch. I mean, we got today, and then the draft is tomorrow.
Right.
So deal needs to be done quickly. We'll keep you updated on that, and we'll get to the rest of the leads coming up next.
Sources tell me a trade and a resolution is coming for the Milwaukee Bucks with Giannis Antetokounmpo before the NBA draft on Tuesday night. The Bucks are in serious conversations with two finalists, the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics. Both teams are Giannis's preferred trade destinations, but both of these packages are different deals. The variance of these deals is dramatic. With Boston, it's Jaylen Brown-led package. It's around a veteran player, obviously a superstar caliber player. In Miami, it's a group of cost-controlled players, rookie-scale contracts, significant draft capital in that deal. And so I do want to make this clear, though. Whichever deal occurs, whether it's today or tomorrow, it is going to be a one-to-one deal. It's going to consist of Milwaukee and likely one of these two teams, and that's how it's going to be. There's no third team, fourth team in any construct right now.
Jones and Keefe right now on WEEI. Are you
for Giannis Watch, King?
I am ready for Giannis Watch. Business is picking up, Jones. Holy smokes, you go away for a little long weekend. Hope you enjoyed yourself, and boom, Giannis could be here any minute. It could happen during this show. We're here for the next 4 hours.
It sounds like it might. It honestly sounds like it might. What changed? Because last week, when we were last here, Chris Haynes is like, could be a while. Might go past the draft. And it's... It is Giannis Watch.
Giannis
it sounded
watch.
Like the Heat had gotten into the driver's seat.
Yeah, but then
I actually remember there were two driver's seats.
Right.
But whatever.
We went down that road.
It sounded like the Heat had nosed in front, and now it's like pretty adamant all of a sudden. You're going to hear Windhorst coming up. That was Shams maybe having a stroke. I don't know what was going on there with Shams.
Shams having a hard time there. A lot of information in his head, clearly. The guy's well plugged in.
What was going on?
He might want to unplug then plug back in because he seemed like he was falling apart.
Well, that tells me that big news is about to happen, that he's so like
super nervous.
Jittery.
Could have been a little buzzed. I don't know.
Choking on his tongue, whatever was going on with Shams there.
He had a hard time.
But you'll hear Windhorst, Bill Simmons. There was a reporter out of Milwaukee moved it forward this weekend. So now
they're getting Giannis.
I now kind of think that too. I didn't think that last week. I thought it was all about Miami and leveraging Miami.
Yeah.
And
but Miami has nothing.
No, they don't.
They have nothing to trade.
But what turns out is that the Celtics, I think initially were interested in it because Miami was about to get him for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's intensified, and you hear it from Shams there, you'll hear it from Windhorst coming up, they've changed their stance on including Giannis. Or at least Jaylen rather, for Giannis.
Right.
in a public way anyway. Now everybody knows about it. Maybe that's been going on behind closed doors, but now Windhorse and everybody else has caught wind. Jalen is included.
So my view was,
what up the Jays?
Well, she's going to get her wish. Yeah. Well, I think Miami was like, hey, we would love to get Giannis, and Giannis wants to live in Miami, so that should be easy enough for us. But Giannis isn't a free agent, and it's not like he has a no-trade clause. So Miami's going to offer the best package they can, which stinks. And then Boston's like, hey, maybe we can offer something better than that. And I'm sure they could, you know, Derek White, Peyton Pritchard, that kind of thing, like centered around those guys, but with like a ton of picks included and everything else. And then it probably got down to, all right, are we going to include Jaylen Brown? And if we do, it's not a two-horse race. It's not even close if it's two.
Miami can't match that.
No. Now, if you're Milwaukee, I could see Milwaukee saying, all right, Jaylen and. Because Giannis, Jaylen are not the same player. Even though you and I would argue to keep Jaylen and not bring in Giannis because of the fit and just the other intangible parts.
That's not a one-for-one talent thing. That's a fit, but I can see Milwaukee wanting more than just Jaylen in a return. Yeah,
Giannis is a child.
Like, in just a vacuum where you go down each player, to suggest that you could trade Giannis or Jaylen Brown for Giannis is wild. It'd be more like Tatum for Giannis or Tatum and a pick for Giannis or something like that. So, like, just Brown for Giannis, I think, is pretty wild. But when the next best offer is Tyler Hero, Jaime Jaquez, and the 13th pick, you're like, oh, my God. Looks like you're getting Michael Jordan from the Celtics. That's what that looks like. So, but I feel like that's a weird one for the Milwaukee fans to sell. But, like, you kind of just downgraded. So you went from Giannis to Jaylen Brown? Now what? Now what do you do? It's like trading 50 cents for 40 cents. Like, what do I do with 40 cents? I just had 50 cents. I have less sense now. What am I doing with that? But whatever, that's not my problem. I don't care what Milwaukee's going to do and how they're going to spin it. But it really seems kind of with the NBA draft tomorrow night, and not that there's necessarily picks involved here, but both teams could maybe make other moves and sort of set themselves up for the next couple nights that the draft are taking place. Feels like it's going to happen. Feels like enough people are talking about it, and it's going to be Giannis for Jaylen.
You can add Mark Stein to that list as well. He tweeted out, update one league source after my story published, told the Steinline, that the Celtics emerged from the weekend with a real shot to win the race with a Jaylen Brown-centric offer, adding that Milwaukee has considered going ahead even without a third-team facilitator. So that's also what changed. Because, like, we show up today, and it's like, what's the difference from last week? Why is it ratcheting up? Because it's clearly ratcheting up. What has changed? I think the Celtics are willing to include Jaylen. And it sounds like the Bucks are now willing to take Jaylen on, which was not always the case. It sounded like he would be going to a third destination or there'd be a four-team trade. I think that's no longer the case. So you guys can talk about it. 617-779-7937. Discuss with us here on Jones and Keefe on a Monday. Interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch along in chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always, and I mean always, a healthy chat going on Twitch. Do the same on YouTube. Watch there, chat there. Just subscribe to WEEI. It won't be all Giannis all day unless things continue heat up. I guess it could be.
Yeah, give it a minute.
We'll mix in a few thoughts on the Celtics coming up, Red Sox rather, coming up. Rafael Devers.
What a ball player.
Pulling his antics out in San Francisco.
Good attitude.
Plus, we have some World Cup thoughts, some thoughts on the Patriots as well. So stay tuned for all of it. You know, I came to the realization of today, Keith, if this Giannis thing is actually going to happen.
Yeah, what's that?
For the first time in a long time, I'm against a big, significant move that's coming down.
Oh, yeah, like, pro A.J. Brown,
pro-drafting Drake May.
Pro-firing Cora,
pro-firing Devers, which, score one for us.
Yes.
Even go back
on the right side of history, folks.
Even going back a little further, like, I couldn't care less about trading away Marcus Smart, which was polarizing. Like,
yeah.
This has been the first time in a while where
getting
I'm like,
Belichick.
Right, that's another one. I don't like the move at all that the team is doing. It's the first time in a while I felt that way.
That's interesting. Yeah, this one for me has just been really tricky the whole time, and I'm not trying to like ride the fence on it, but Giannis is a better player than Jaylen Brown. I would rather have Jaylen Brown and Tatum run it back one more time, but I'm also terrified of running back the team. And they didn't fire Mazzulla.
I do think that's fair. You can't.
That was their choice.
You cannot run it back.
You can't do that.
Yep.
So if the options were run it back or trade Jaylen for Giannis, I would trade Jaylen for Giannis. Now, I still think there could have been like a Derek White trade and maybe some other pieces moving around and you could have improved your team. But this is certainly going to shake the foundation of the team. And as much as I don't like Giannis, the personality, he's a hard guy to root for. You know, there's no such thing as failure. It's like, yeah, there is. When you're the one seed and you lose in the first round, that is failure. So, like, that kind of stuff bothers me. But if you don't like that the Celtics take 63s a game, this should change that. You're going to have one guy, your second leading scorer on the team, maybe your leading scorer, depending on how it plays out, is going to take mostly twos. So, like, if you want a change in philosophy, like, this is right down your alley.
So I do agree with you on that, where I want them to change the way they play. I don't think you need to bring in Giannis to change the way you play.
No,
but
probably not. Okay. This forces it.
Fine. This forces it. I agree. Although a little piece of me still thinks Giannis is going to be here chucking up threes next year. A little piece of me still thinks that.
I wouldn't rule it out.
But no, you have to change what you do. And you might just be at the end with Jaylen. Like you say, Giannis is a hard guy to root for, which he is.
Yeah.
Giannis is a hard guy to root for. He's a loser who won. I don't like his attitude. I don't like how he carries himself. I don't think he's interested in the proper things anymore, winning and prioritizing winning. I don't. Although if he comes,
this has been my favorite season so far.
If he comes here, I'll feel a little better about it. But still, I don't trust him on that. I think people are kind of done with Jaylen too, and the organization might be done with Jaylen. And look, he might be done with them. That might be what's going on as well.
Yeah, no, there might be. Like, publicly, he has said that he wants to be here and everything like that. We were trying to read between the lines when Jaylen Brown was doing his Twitch streams and Brad Stevens had his end of season presser and all that kind of stuff. You know, it definitely stuck out when Giannis was talking up Missoula out of nowhere, right? That was all around the same time as the Celtics season coming to an end and trying to figure out what this team was going to be. But yeah, you're right. I mean, Jaylen Brown double and tripling down on it being his favorite season, that kind of raised an eyebrow or two. You're like, all right, this is the first season besides your rookie year that you didn't have Jason Tatum healthy for the entire season. So how are you going to duplicate that? You're not going to duplicate that in Boston.
No. So Giannis watch is heating up. What do you think about it? How do you feel about it? And, well, why do you think it changed over the weekend and started to move forward? Because it feels like we're getting awfully close to the finish line. Here on Jones and Keefe, you can dial us up, 617-779-7937. Here's what we're going to do. After a quick deuce, that's 2 minutes of commercials, Keefe. 2 minutes of commercials. We're going to come back. Is Jaylen gone either way? Is he done with the Celtics? Are they done with him? We'll get to that side of it again in just 2 minutes here on Jones and Keefe.
He gone!
Well, yes, Diz, I didn't want to pat myself on the back out of the chute, but there it is, Ted. It's already out in the ether, so. Who was first?
You, brother.
Thank you, buddy.
I made fun of you. I mocked you.
Daily.
I said this is way too soon to be talking about a Giannis to Boston storyline, and boy, was I wrong. Huh.
Energy is shifting all over the place. I want to get, Ted, your reaction to all this here in just a second. First, let's welcome in our guest. Rich has a Monday off, an extended long holiday, so Christian Arcand.
I don't even feel like a guest anymore. I feel like I'm a frequent visitor to this program. Guest makes it seem like I'm here like, you know, once a month. Like, I'm here a lot.
You remember the team? And little did I know that you and Ted were on the air for one of the great stories in Boston sports history.
Indeed. This is, as we all know, I mean, we're right here on the Giannis Decision Desk, and we will have updates throughout the day and a recap of what's going on. But that's true. Ted and I at the other station were on the air together the day that news broke out of Florida that Robert Kraft had been implicated in that whole situation at the spa.
And we bring that up only to just, you know, hopefully we get some big news today.
That's right.
We conducted ourselves, I thought, really well during that. But, yeah, it's hopefully.
We were on together for a Vrabel thing, too, right? Like right before Rich got here? Wasn't that right?
I think you're right.
Well, I forget exactly what it was. It was a bunch of Vrabel stuff.
So we say that to say that we're pretty sure something's going to come down big today.
That's right.
So that's what we're all looking forward to.
That's
anyway.
Why we have Arcand on Freak Watch. He's at the Giannis desk, and I got a Greek buddy. So I said, tell me a Greek song that will go well with this. So he said, go with Dimitris Mitropanos and a song called Rosa, which happens to be about a prostitute, but that's neither here nor there.
Oh, my favorite Dimitris Mitropanos song,
yeah,
too.
And so here is our sounder should anything happen today, or just for updates. There we go. Arcand, so what's the latest here at the 203 Eastern Time?
Adam Himmelsbach just tweeted, as a matter of fact. Says, regarding Giannis, Celtics are in the mix. Giannis's camp has indicated he would sign an extension with Boston. Others have reported things similar to that. It remains unclear how close the Celtics and the Bucks are to a potential deal at the moment. That's the latest. But all morning long on all the ESPN shows, there has been a ton of talk about it. Stephen A. all over it. You have Windhorst. You have Shams. A lot of different people commenting. And all of it really right now pointing towards Giannis to the Celtics, with the Heat's odds on the prediction markets going way down, and a lot of very what sounds like informed speculation that would
61% on Kalshi.
Yeah,
from Boston.
What was it? Just a week or two ago.
Rich texted us over the weekend.
No, that was me over the weekend. Celtics' chances got down to like 13%.
Yeah, it was in the teens, low teens. Very good, Stiz. Yeah.
So Ted, what happened? Like, what are you seeing here?
Well, it clearly. Somebody from the Celtics side was talking. Maybe finally it's you get to a point where there's kind of this self-imposed deadline that the owner of the Bucks have put on the front office there with Milwaukee to get a deal done before draft day, which is tomorrow night. So we're getting down to nut cutting time, and so maybe it's just either agents are talking or finally got leaked. You can't hold this in forever. That the Celtics are not only in on Giannis, but they're willing to trade Jaylen Brown, in which we were all wondering that even just at the end of last week, whether or not the Celtics would include Jaylen Brown in the deal. But it has been reported, and I feel pretty good. Because Shams has not really been on this story.
True. Yeah.
He is. And then all of a sudden this morning, he's got all this information. So it just gives more validity to this. This is actually possibly going to happen. The JB's involved in the deal. And that it's most likely that he does come, Giannis, to the Celtics for a one-for-one trade for JB. Although the executives for the Bucks, there's also reports saying that they're split on the deals between what Miami is proposing versus what Celtics are proposing.
And it seems unclear if they don't get the deal done, if somehow Miami wins out, whether Jaylen does indeed get shopped. There seems to be dueling reports on that, like whether he's going to move one way or the other, Arcan. But it's fun. Maybe my read on it is wrong. I don't sense that anybody's excited about it here. I am.
Really?
I may be the only one. Do you think people are fired up about this?
About Giannis coming in?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's going to be, because it's not like when you traded to get Garnett and you traded Al Jefferson and Sebastian Telfair. Like, you're trading your finals MVP. You're trading a guy who won here and who just had a great season and all of that. But I think that he really greased the skids with his comments. And the idea of Giannis coming here, even if it's not like blowing up the fuck, you know, like I've been getting more pro Giannis calls than anti Giannis calls tonight. I don't know about you guys, but like that seems to be the tenor, the tone and tenor I've been getting about it. What I think has muted some of it is the fact that the Knicks just won the championship, right? So even if you do get Giannis, you still, I think, are looking at kind of an uphill battle with all of that. And then you're going to have to add other things around it, because Giannis is just coming from a team that couldn't put it together with him and Dame Lillard. So he's not a guarantee. Like, your odds are going to get better, but you're not guaranteed to win the East. So I think there's still, like, the idea of more work to be done even if you get Giannis.
Yeah, no, the question, I think part of it too, you know, Ken, is that just it's JB is leaving. So it's like, yeah, you're getting Giannis, but at the sake of trading away a guy that's been here for 9 years, won you a championship, and just, you know, had a great year this past regular season. So I think that is people find themselves in a pretzel on how to kind of really process this. When you're getting Giannis, yeah, but you got to give up JB to get him.
Well, that's a good point. Now, I have a question about that. I want to play the Windhorst from this morning, because this is the first time Windhorst has been in, correct? Like, for 3 or 4 days, he was like, I'm hearing he's staying. I'm not hearing anything. Boston's close to the vest. But this morning, definitely different from Brian Windhorst from ESPN.
I was really skeptical that the Boston Celtics were going to go all in on this. And from what I understand, they have. The Celtics and the Heat are the two teams aggressively going after Giannis. I would say they are the finalists. And if Giannis is going to be traded in the next 24 hours, which I think is a good chance of happening, I think it's either going to be to Boston or Miami. The Boston thing is the one. They were very cautious about putting Jaylen Brown in this official firm offer. I believe they have. Jaylen Brown is on the table, and Jaylen Brown could get traded for Giannis Antetokounmpo in the short term. I'll tell you this.
Now, he went on to say the Celtics are making a change because they've admitted to themselves they're not good enough. Now, Bill Simmons said this is BS. It's been out there for 2 weeks. Nothing's changed in the last 36 hours.
Yep.
But do you think, Ted, if Windhorst is right, the Celtics made this choice for on-court reasons or off-court reasons?
I think it's probably a little bit of both, but mostly the on-court. I think they just feel like, you know, look,
people say, you know, these guys won a championship. They've been together for 9 years. It's like, yeah, you've been together for 9 years, and I think they've underachieved to only get one championship. And this was a really disappointing, playoff, series they had just a couple weeks ago against the Phillies. So, to me, look, they're a great team with JB there. They can be a better team, I think, with Giannis, even though it might be marginal. I think that's how they see it. I mean, clearly to me, with the reports today, because you weren't sure how they really felt, I think, about JB on this team. It's clear to me now, Christian, that they feel like it's not working with these two and they need to finally split these guys up.
Yeah, and I think that Brown's behavior after that loss helped. I mean, I don't think that played no role in it. Like, I think
right.
if you had to say, was it one or the other, the on-court stuff is probably more compelling. But, like, Brown made it pretty easy, didn't he? He made it pretty easy for people to want to just say, all right, enough. Like, if that's really how you feel, this was your favorite year, then, you know, go have a favorite year where you lose in the first round somewhere else. Yep. Like, I think that's sort of it.
Like, I feel like history's going to say that. He shot his way out of town. Yeah. If he keeps his mouth shut, they keep him together.
Yeah, probably. Probably. And he didn't say explicitly, I want out. I don't want to play here anymore. I don't like Jason Tatum. Mm-hmm. But what he did say was just so out of touch with the fan base that I think it's really made it easier for them to accept this.
He did it in such a way that he can say, hey, I never said I wanted to leave Boston.
Right.
He kind of wants both his cake and eat it too. But to me, I think that was just the tone and tenor of that message right after the season ended in disappointing fashion, I think was probably, all right, this is it. We were thinking of trading these guys or splitting these guys up for on-court reasons. Now JB has just kind of put us in a position where it's untenable. It just doesn't feel like it's going to work. His head's in a different space now. I don't think they can work together as well as they did in the past, and we need to do something. I give them a lot of credit. If they do this,
it is a
bold, bold move because the safe thing to do is just to keep the two and run with it like they always have.
Now, Stiz, you tracked down – Jalen had another Twitch stream this morning. Is that right? Sometime early in the
just
morning?
Just now, I think.
Or is it just recently?
Yeah.
Maybe they're just trading him because they're sick of the Twitch stream.
Could be.
I'm sick of the Twitch stream.
Do you have it, Stiz?
So Stiz got some of the audio. Yeah, here's JB's response to the latest energy shift.
I'm somewhat grateful because I get to see some negativity that I didn't want, but that just gives more fuel to the fire. I get to see some, you know, comments or takes that I didn't even care to see. But it just gives me more fuel to the fire. So to all the people that's doubting me, that want me to do this or want me gone or whatever, you turning me into a monster.
I mean,
into a monster.
Monster, yeah. Got cut off at the end. But
what are you going to turn him into a monster before the Philly series? Like, why does he have to be a monster now?
Yeah. You got to put him in trade talks to get him to be a monster. Like, what do you think he wants to go or not, Christian? Like,
yeah, I think he wants to go have his own team. I don't know if he wants to have it in Milwaukee. But I think he did kind of, like, him saying this is such a great year and so much fun was kind of him saying, I prefer to be the main guy to even winning a championship. Like, this is what I'd rather be doing. This is what I crave. And whatever. I mean, at least he's being honest about it, I guess. But you're right. He didn't come out and actually say, I want to leave, because that's bad for business. You shouldn't do that. If I'm his agent, I'd tell him, don't ever say anything like that. But he has, in so many words, I think, punch this ticket. I mean, that's
well,
what
we 207 texter, and he blamed the refs for blowing the 3-1 lead. That could have bothered them somewhat.
All that crying on the stream was brutal, man. Oh, what a crash out that was. It was awful. I mean, it was tough to stomach. And I understand you have feelings and emotions after you lose, but get it together, you know? Yeah. Like, that's why people aren't that upset about this.
All right, so I'm curious what people think about this. 617-779-7937. Now that it seems like it's imminent, 61% per Kalshi. I mean, some people feel like Miami's still got a shot, but not many. I mean, I guess maybe I'm not in the Miami region. Maybe they still have hope. Maybe Pat Riley's got something up his sleeve, Ted, but I don't know what it is.
I would be shocked. I mean, with Tyler Hero and draft picks, that doesn't sound too enticing when you consider you can get Jaylen Brown.
But tell us what you think. Are you excited about it? Is this the wrong move? It definitely shortens their window. I mean, and it's a bold move, to Ted's point, from the owner. We are in the Catches Law Injury Attorney Studio. No fee unless you win. Ken and Rich with Ted, but no Rich today. We got Arcand in. So we'll take your calls coming up. Also, Arcand, I know you wanted to put this in like a historical context of how big this deal is, not just for the Celtics, but like league-wide if it goes down. And Stephen A. was excellent. It's personal now between he and JB.
Oh, yeah.
And he took a little personal dig at him. We'll have that audio in 2 minutes here on the show.